Our reading today is Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 39, which is on page 10208 of your Bibles. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, everybody. Lovely to see you all. I think there's probably more people here that I don't know that I do know today, which is amazing. So do come up to introduce yourself to me. My name is James, by the way. I'm the minister in training here. Keep your Bibles open. I want to ask you a question before we sort of kick off into the passage. There's a lot in this passage, so we're kind of only going to focus on just a couple of verses. We haven't got loads of time today. How do you feel about waiting? How do you feel about waiting? I mean, this might be the first image that comes up in your head when you think of waiting, a good old quintessentially British queue in your life, whether that's at the till for the supermarket or traffic jam. You'll spend about 6 months of your life waiting in a queue. Feels like a bit of a waste, doesn't it? All that waiting. But it's not just a waste. I think waiting can make us feel a little bit anxious. Because what we wait for often brings a really big change into our lives. That we can think, you know, what if that thing comes that I'm waiting for? Or what if that thing doesn't come, depending on what it is? Perhaps you're waiting for something right now. Maybe some really important news. Waiting for a future spouse. Waiting for a sense of meaning and purpose to come into your lives. I think what we often wait for is what we hope in. We hope in that spouse. We hope in that important news. It'll make everything better, we think. We hope in that new year to come around that we've been waiting for to give us a bit of a reset. You know what I mean? But even after all the waiting, how often do these hopes that we wait for, they don't always deliver? And to raise the stakes, quite a lot actually, you know, hope in the face of the our biggest problem, death. It's our most important hope to search for in this world. Well, it's something that the world is still waiting for, the hope in the face of death. I think the world's in a bit of a scramble about this, you know, in search for hope to fix everything, small things, the big things. The world is waiting for hope. But today, as we come back to Luke's gospel, which is written to give us certainty in the news about Jesus, we are encouraged to be certain that the wait in the search for hope is over. The wait in the search for hope is over. So much in this passage, but let's just start in verse 25. So if you put your Bible down, get that back open to that passage, Luke chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 25. Follow that with me. I'll kind of paraphrase it a little bit. We only know, it starts with a man called Simeon. We don't know much about this man called Simeon, but we do know that he was a righteous and devout man, and he was very old. They're the two things that are pointed out to us. But actually, the big thing is that Simeon is waiting. Simeon is waiting, waiting, waiting for the long-promised Saviour to come. And it was agony. He was waiting for a Saviour to bring hope, or as our verse says, consolation. Can you see that word in verse 25? Consolation to Israel. Think consoling somebody. It's comfort. He's waiting for someone to come along and comfort Israel. He's waiting for God to comfort, to come and save and bring hope. But actually, Simeon was really quite special in this moment, because he'd been told by God that he wouldn't die until the Saviour came. It's a key verse here. Have a look at verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. But he is old. So he's probably thinking, God, you need to hurry up because I'm not getting any younger here. But one day, as he goes into the temple, he sees Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. He doesn't know how, and we don't know how, but moved by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the verse says, he just knows. Hope has come. And you can imagine him doing a bit of a double take. Oh, is that? That's him. That's the hope. He looks over and he sees the Comforter, the Redeemer, the Saviour, all in this baby. He realises he doesn't need to wait any longer. God was right. The wait for hope is over. Simeon's ecstatic. So he does I'm kind of imagining like a Rafiki from The Lion King here. Holds up Jesus in his arms. Absolute relief, he exclaims. Look down at verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. In Jesus, the wait for hope is over. It's over. He deals with our biggest needs, our biggest hopes, our hope in the face of death, firstly. Hope in the face of death. Why do I say death? Well, it's exactly what Simeon concludes when he sees salvation in Jesus. Look down at verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, here it is, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Remember, Simeon was promised he wouldn't die until he saw this hope come. And now with Jesus in his arms, he can die happy. He's saying, dismiss your servant in peace. He can die in peace. Can you see that? Let's pause on that phrase, dismiss your servant in peace. Because it teases out the goodness of the hope that Jesus brings, hope in death. I mean, how do you feel about dying? Be honest. How do you feel about dying? I know it's deep. We are in church. We can talk about these things. It's scary. It's unknown. That's why we're scared of it. So what do? Well, we wait for consolation. We wait for comfort in other things, achievements, what we work for, good times, security, safety. We might think those things will kind of make us feel better before we reach death, or they just kind of distract us, or they kind of might even help us to avoid it for a little bit longer. But we end up staring at the stark reality. Death is our biggest issue, and it has zero solutions. And we're waiting around for a solution that will never come. But cue the baby Jesus. In him, hope has arrived. Hope that even means we can die happy. Isn't that great? We can die in peace. You may now dismiss your servant in peace, he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Isn't this great? When we trust in Jesus, we don't need to face death hoping for the best, wondering if it's going to be okay, scrambling around, for searching for something to console us before we get there. We see Simeon here with this baby cradled in his arms, and he can say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go now. Can you say that? Well, we can say that if we know Jesus. We can go through the unknown with peace. We're forgiven, we're saved from eternal death with the hope of eternal life. You know, those words, R.I.P., they're very final, unhopeful words for some. But actually, resting in peace is exactly what believers are able to do. That Jesus came to bring us through death, safely, peacefully, to the other side. And if we trust in him, that is hope that we can experience. But it's not just about kind of dying happy, I think it's about living happy. You know, we don't have to go through life with this burden of death hanging over our heads. We can walk with Jesus comforted that no matter what happens to us, he saved us, we'll always be okay. Do you know some of this comfort? Have you experienced what it is to know that you found hope? You don't need to wait for hope any longer. You can find that hope in Jesus. But wonderfully, this hope isn't just for a select few. It's not just for people who come to this kind of building. Simeon rightly sees this hope as an offer for the whole world. Hope in death for the whole world. Have a look at verse 29 again. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. You know, it's in our theme verse today. It's what Tim read out. Isaiah 49, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. The Gentiles, it just means the nations, the world. So it's a promise that the Saviour wouldn't just save his people Israel, but he'd come to offer salvation to everybody, the whole world. Hope is for everyone. Anyone can find hope in Jesus and die happy. This picture of Jesus being a light is like Jesus kind of as a beacon of light in a dark place, like a lighthouse for a world on the rocks under a thick, unstoppable shadow of death. And Jesus comes in as a lighthouse. He shines life and peace. Not just for a certain people, but for everybody. Anyone who turns to him for safety. I think our world is just in a complete mess about this topic of death. I don't think we like even hearing that word, really. I think we've kind of slightly got accustomed to it in church. We talk about it a little bit too much. I mean, what do you do when Jesus isn't in your worldview? Must be quite a hard thing to feel. You know, most people either distract themselves, like we said, try not to think about it, or they do every single thing they can to fight against it. I don't know if you've seen this guy here. He's a guy called Brian Johnson. His life's mission is to avoid death. That's his life's mission. He does everything he can to stop death. Don't die is his slogan. He does all these extreme exercises, acupuncture, all these health things, taking 111 pills a day. Can you imagine doing that? All to avoid death. I mean, he's an extreme example. I think he gives us insight into all of our minds in one sense, though. Because we try to kid ourselves that death won't come. We do everything to fight it. But the sad reality is that Brian Johnson and everybody else is stuck with that horrible reality that death will come. He's going to die. It is kind of the most certain statistic of all, isn't it? If Jesus doesn't return, all 8.2 billion people will die. 152,000 have died already today. Most won't face death with peace. Most are not spending eternity in the life-giving presence of God. Waiting for a solution, we are. It's a hopeless scramble, but hope has arrived. And it deals with a root issue. Not even exercise or anything else like that. 111 pills can get rid of. Death comes to all of us, actually, because we tell God to go away. We rebel. We go our own way. That's the issue that causes death. So to deal with that root issue, Jesus comes to save from all the terrible future consequences of death on the cross. It was way further than Simeon could see. But when Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with sin and took the penalty of eternal death on our behalf. Now, this is incredible news that every Christian here has experienced. We know the comfort. So why won't we share it? Why wouldn't we share it? You know, not one of those 152,000, not one of those 8.2 million billion people on this earth exempt from this offer of hope. It's something for the world. I think that's something that Simeon's wife, Anna, really gets. I think women are really held up as an example in Luke's gospel. It's really great to see that. Have a look down at verse 36. There was also a prophet, Anna, from the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. So very similar to her husband, very devout, very old in the temple. And when she hears the news, she can't help but spread it far and wide to everybody she sees. Have a look at verse 38 with me. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She spoke. She heard about the hope that everyone was waiting for, and she spoke about the child everyone was looking for. I don't think she had a particular gospel outline or a course or a prepared line. She just spoke to people around her, normally to others about Jesus. We could be a little bit like Anna, couldn't we? We've got this hope. We've experienced this comfort. We just need to say what we've experienced. Jesus has saved me. Death is no longer my enemy. I'm saved from death. I can live in comfort because of him. The wait's over. Hope in death for the whole world. A Luke's gospel, it was written to give us certainty. And particularly today, certainty that we don't have to wait around for hope. We can be really certain that even though our world might be waiting for hope, we don't have to. You know, all our fears, our greatest longings, they're fulfilled in Jesus. We can die in peace. So here's my question. Are you certain that hope has come? Past tense. Has come in Jesus. Do you live like hope has come in Jesus? Do you live like that? Perhaps, maybe if you don't, and I think we don't do it fully from time to time, might express like this. You know, once I've done X, I'll be fulfilled. Once I've done Y, I'll be happy. Once I've done Z, I can die in peace. Once I've got a spouse, I'll be fulfilled. Once I've got to that point in my career, I'll be happy. Once I've done this or that experience, I could die happy. Now, if we're looking elsewhere to give us hope, it's because we haven't perhaps fully grasped how much hope has come in Jesus. We've got all the hope we need, the biggest, most important hope we could ever ask for. It's over. The wait. Or maybe you're living as if you still need to make peace with death. Even if you're a Christian and you've been forgiven, it's so easy to slip back into that old way of thinking, of seeing death as this thing to keep fearing. It's an unsolved problem. In the past, I went through a phase where I realised I had been unconsciously doing that. At points, I've been fearful for my health. Doctors kind of said I'm fine, but I realised some of those health anxieties, some of them were kind of rooted in that deep-seated pre-Jesus habit of seeing death as this big problem that needs solving for me. You know, am I healthy? So if there's something wrong with me, you know, I might die. But as a Christian, I can be more like Simeon and Anna. I can say, so what? I've seen salvation. I'm ready to go. Dismiss your servant in peace. Death is not a problem to solve. Hope has come. Death is now the entrance into life forever with Jesus. The greatest hope that meets us when we stare death in the face. It came 2,000 years ago. We can look forward to a future. The wait is over in him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful hope that Jesus brings. Thank you that we don't have to wait, we don't have to search, we don't have to look around for these things that we might think are going to give us hope and comfort. Thank you that Jesus is everything for us. He gives us hope even in the face of death. Lord, help us all to trust in this Jesus, to find our rescue, our salvation in him, and tell everyone, the world, about him. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.